Okay, councillors. May we, the council of the town of Bassendean, being mindful of the code of conduct, have the integrity and wisdom to consider the matters before us honestly, graciously, and for the greater good of the town. So, welcome everyone. The town of Bassendean and we as a council are really committed to reconciliation, so it's important for us at each of our meetings to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and that the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation are the traditional owners of this land, and we acknowledge their ongoing contribution to our community and our town, and we pay our respects to them, their elders past, present and future. So again, welcome everybody here this evening. We now have installed in the chambers an improved audio system and an equipment that allows us to not only film but to live stream our meetings. So I just wanted to bring everyone's attention to the fact that tonight's meeting is not only recorded but will be publicly available on the internet. And this is an initiative that we've put in place because we really want to make it easier for our community to have access to the decisions that are affecting their lives. And to improve transparency around council decision making. So we're moving on to item two on the agenda, which is public question time. If there's anybody who'd like to ask a question, I would ask you to raise your hand and I would call you to the centre position where the microphone is. And if I could ask you to state your name and your address and address your question to myself. Is there anybody who'd like to ask a question? Ms. Jacobson? Yeah, it's on. Yep.
I'll turn it up.
Molly Jacobson, Spartan Parade, Bassendean. I've got a question regarding item 10.11, just about the minutes of the aspects community meeting.
Yep.
In that list, it's item 10. It's about underground power in the town of Bassendean. I was just wondering if anyone's looking to, rather than actually fully undergrounding the entire power grid that we've got in the town, insulating the wires. When I was in Adelaide, I noticed that that's what they had over there. They had insulated wires, and that allows the trees to grow into that network. And I was wondering if it might be cheaper and less wasteful to actually retrofit the existing grid, given that many of the power poles themselves have recently been replaced at fast expense rather than decommissioning the entire infrastructure.
So that's the first time I've ever heard of that. So Mr. Stuart Dawkins, thank you. Have you got any comments to make? I believe so. Just because you can't hear, okay. It doesn't mean that.
Yes, look, I'm familiar with what you're talking about. There's a
cable bundling, they actually call it, and we actually have that down the centre, down Old Perth Road. There is a cost associated with undertaking cable bundling, and so if council wish to investigate that, it would be we have to seek a quote to undertake that work. Generally, it's, my understanding, it's quite expensive. It is possible.
I'm aware of cable bundling. I've seen it in other suburbs of Perth. In Adelaide, they actually, the insulation is around the individual wires.
Oh, individual wires.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I was just wondering if that's something that could be retrofitted. And comparatively, it might be cheaper than undergrounding.
I'm not familiar with Western Power doing that.
No, neither am I. I was wondering why it's not been able to.
Thank you. Further questions? Mr. Bridges?
Paul Bridges, 150 West Road, Bassendean. My question relates to item 10.11 on the agenda, which is about street trees and urban forest canopy and the like. At the March meeting, I drew attention to the fact that you had $60,000 in this year's budget to revise the street tree master plan, and asked when that would be when that was likely to happen. Mr. Stuart Dawkins referred to the fact that he'd be referring the matter to the next town assets committee meeting, and that was done. And I've read the officer's recommendation to that, and the subsequent motion that was moved by Councillor Wilson. My concern is that the both motions carry forward a request that funding be listed in listed for council consideration in the draft 2019-2020 budget. Now that's a whole year away. It's not in the next one. And given that we had money allocated in this year's budget to revise the Street Tree Master Plan, I'm wondering why. That figure's 2019 when it should really, or in my opinion, should be. My question is, can that be made to next year, this coming financial year's budget, rather than 1-2 years away? I think the urgency of the matter is that we need to get on and deal with this now. We didn't deal with it this year. We're not proposing to deal with it in the motion, we're proposing to deal with it next year, but the following year. I just ask that that be given due consideration and addressing this matter. Thank you.
Any further questions? Mr. Veal? Sorry, which attachment are you referring to?
Ordinary council meeting.
I'll
yeah. speak louder if I can.
No, we can hear you fine.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, which relates to OCM 1. I think it's... anyway, it's Ian Beale's the question that I asked at the last council meeting, and it refers to the 25-year flood level bands.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that a written response staff have had a briefing recently by the MRC about the flood study results, and the Direction Operational Services advised that they are waiting on more documentation. Now, in relationship to that,
is your query around the timing of those flood bans, Mr. Beale?
No, it's more than that. Just bear with me for a second. I want to raise the implications of that particular issue. And not only that, but another issue as well. So there's two questions that regarding non-action on approved council resolutions. The first of that is, once again, the removal of the yellow 25-year markers, which we've been trying to get removed for about 15 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And there's resolutions that says the council are going to do this. Now, the implication here is that particular issue managed to raise its ugly head in a recent sat here, where indeed, under an annexure that was produced for the WAPC, experts, witnesses at that hearing.
Mr. Veal, can I encourage you to ask the question?
You want me to ask the question?
Yes, please.
So I can't talk about it. What I'll do again, I'll write it, okay? I would have thought tonight there's not very many people here that you could let some conversation take place.
You can give us some background, but
okay,
you need to get to the question as well.
There are two issues to do with that. There's been an auction down there,
mm-hmm.
and the floodway stickers within 50 metres of that auction are remain. There was no satisfactory purchaser for that, and there is the implications are that those signs have had an effect on that auction. It'll come out in the wash, obviously, at some stage. That's that. The second issue was the lack of changes to the local planning policy number 4. That's the floodplain management and development policy, clause 3.2. And the effect of this has had on the outcome of the recent Bethune sat here in dealings with the subdivision. There's been no action on the resolutions that were passed on the 24th of August 2017. That's nearly 11 months ago. And to be fair, this has happened on this council's watch.
Okay, I might ask the staff to make a comment on that, because you've raised the issue about the flood markers a number of times, and the response has been given that we're waiting for the official results of the flood study to come through, which I believe is, are we looking at August, did you say? End of August is the anticipated date for that, so the action will be taking place once we have... And Mr. yourself or Mr. Stuart Dawkins, who would be the best person to respond to the other items?
Certainly I can... Mr. Veal, thank you for the question. I can certainly respond to the question about the removal of the yellow bands. My understanding was that that had already taken place. There may be still one or two that have slipped through the net, but I'm happy to ensure that there is a complete audit undertaken to ensure that all of those yellow bands are removed.
That's a bit late. These matters have been raised and used as evidence in the SAT hearing, and they can have effect on the results of that hearing. Those markers,
okay,
are still there, and they've been raised in evidence.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Veal. I think the staff have heard that, and Mr. Haggard has given assurances that he'll make sure there's an audit to have any outstanding ones removed. Now, the second point you raised was in regards to a motion from 11 months ago. Who would be best to respond to that? Mr. Reid? Thank you.
The actual decision of council was not to enforce the policy in terms of objecting to applications to subdivisions within the floodway. We have not objected to any developments in the floodway as staff since that decision was made, but the decision was not to amend the policy.
Well,
and I would like to...
I hear that, but I understand that the expert witnesses are not quoting what you're quoting. And perhaps Councillor Brown, who put that resolution forward at that point of time, would know exactly what that was. There are some serious implications here in relationship to the non-performance, okay?
So, Mr. Veal, you've just had
advancing those
two
approvals.
Excuse me, just let me speak. Mr. Reid has given you an answer about what the staff have done in response to that motion. It sounds like there's still some things you'd like to discuss, and can I suggest that we make a time with the staff to go over that to get your concerns addressed, please?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'd like to do that, please.
Okay, thank you.
The third issue has got to do with flood heights. It's absolutely clear from this document here, which is a council document on the 24th of November 2017. That's the WBM flood study report that's been prepared for the construction of the PlayStation down there. It's absolutely clear in there that at that point of time, because in it here it says flood models results, the 100-year flood level at the site is predicted to between 3.4 and 3.6 MAHD, which indicates a water depth of about 0.8 above ground level. Those levels are a metre below the existing adopted WAP, the Water Corporation. So it's clear that nearly a year ago, this council had evidence that those flood levels from the EMRC flood levels were going to drop, and they were going to drop about a metre.
Is there a question around this, Mr. Veal?
Yeah, the question is what are you going to do with about 150 to 200 houses that are within the current floodplain area? Because if that level drops a metre, which it looks like it has or will, as soon as you guys get the flood study, final flood study report, then you're going to have half of those houses not even in the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
You're still dealing with development applications that are going before council, enforcing the development controls on those applications with the knowledge
Okay, so Mr. Veal, I'm not sure that we can answer your question fully because you're asking us to anticipate what we will do in the future based upon some results that we don't actually have the final document yet. I'm not sure whether the staff have anything to comment.
Generally, within the flood fringe or within the floodplain, any development application that comes before the town, we consult with the Department of Waters, DEWA, and recently they have been giving us advice on the new flood levels, not the old flood levels, on the soon-to-be-adopted flood levels.
I understand that because they've obviously done it as far as the PlayStation's concerned, and they did it with relationship to an item that was here previously in, I think it's in one of the streets in...
Okay, Mr. Veal, I'm going to have to ask you to sit down. I've given you quite a bit of time to ask questions, and maybe other people that would like to ask questions here. Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to ask a question? Ms. Brinkworth?
I think to be clear, we're talking about it's not May Holman Reserve, its address is either 1 or 2 May Holman Drive. It's a reserve on May Holman Drive, but it's not the May Holman Reserve.
I realise that, but people reading this thought it's in Main Way, and that's where the problem is. So can that be clarified and corrected, please?
Yeah, that's really helpful. I didn't realise that people were misinterpreting that. Thank you. Are there any further questions? Okay, so we will move on then to addresses by members of the public. So if there's anybody who would like to make a statement on any of the items on the agenda, again, I'd ask you to raise your hand and come to the microphone. Mr. Bridges?
Paul Bridges, Westgrove.
Which item?
It's referring to the question by Mr. Veal on the flood markers. Am I permitted to raise a matter on that?
Yes, you can.
Thank
Just
you.
Be brief, Mr. Bridges.
Yeah, I'll be really brief. Back in October of 2016, a motion was carried by this council which referred to replacing the 100-year flood level markers. But what's of interest is I'll read the second part of the motion, and that the 25 and 100-year flood zone bans be removed to avoid confusion where not adjacent to the flood information signs. Now, that was in October of 2016. If that resolution, and I appreciate that the 100-year flood line was doing, but if the second part of the motion had been actioned, then we wouldn't have had to, Mr. Bill wouldn't have had to worry about the auction and the confusion that had been existing up until that time would have been resolved. So I'd ask that when council resolutions are carried, that they be enacted.
Thank you. Ms. Jacobson, did I see your hand?
Damage to a street tree. So within that item there are several numbered points. In regards to the first one, when a property is undergoing demolition, that actually constitutes the commencement of a development in this case. And so the birch tree should have actually been protected as per the town's policy in accordance with Australian Standard 4970, Protection of Trees on Development Sites. And obviously that didn't happen. Replacement of trees shouldn't really occur until after the building works have been completed, otherwise the replaced trees may be damaged during the building process. The signage that Town of Bassendean has been using to deter future tree vandalism and to inform members of the public that trees on
public property are actually not, that they shouldn't actually be damaged by people who live next door or whatever. That signage, I would suggest that it actually be erected in front of the stump of that damaged tree, if it's still there, to educate the public and as a deterrent against, you know, future potential episodes of that kind of activity, and left there until such time as the tree is replaced. The metal signage that the town of Bassendean owns for this purpose has already been discussed, and it's extremely expensive, and it's also been criticised for obstructing visibility for vehicles, particularly entering driveways and so on. There's these people out there who manufacture safety gear and so on, and they can produce it's quite hideous stuff. It's shade cloth with advertising all over it. But it's much, much cheaper than metal signage, and it can be reused. I know it's plastic, but it can actually be reused over and over again. And for the same cost of one more metal sign, the town of Bassendean could purchase a whole roll of this stuff and actually be out there making more ugly signage for verges in the case of further tree vandalism should it occur, and just to educate people about the importance of our public assets. Just a comment about item 10.10, which is about the Sustainability Committee recommendation, which is about potentially composting food waste and other FOGO from town events, which would, I'm assuming, include things like paper packaging. Outsouse Community Garden, our composting program is up and running. It's a community compost program, and we may be able to assist in that regard. And we're a not-for-profit organisation, and we'd be very happy to discuss it.
Great, thank you. Are there further comments people would like to make? Okay, if not, we will move on. I just note in the agenda under item 2.3 there are questions that were taken on notice at the previous meeting that have been recorded. Item 3, attendances, apologies and applications for leaves of absence. Councillor Quinton?
I will be out of the city from the 2nd of July to the 6th of July.
Okay. Councillor Hamilton?
From 30th of July to the 2nd of August.
Councillor Brown?
And the, excuse me, 1st of July to the 7th of July, 6th of July. In the Gold Hills.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have a mover. Councillor Mikichuk, seconder. Councillor Ganjil, all those in favour? And that is passed unanimously. Deputations, item 4. I don't believe there were any this evening. Okay, item 5, confirmation of the minutes from the last meeting. So 5.1A, we need a mover that the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting be received. Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Quinton. All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. 5.1B, that the minutes are an accurate record. Councillor Quinton's moved that. Seconded by Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. Item 6, announcements. I do not have any this evening. 7, petitions. I don't believe there are any that have been received.
None received.
Item 8, declarations of interest.
No ones have been received.
Yep. But item 13.2, we have the workforce plan. And I would just like to declare an impartiality interest in relation to the Wind in the Willows positions, because my son attends that centre.
I would also like to declare an interest, as my son also attends Wind in the Willows.
And I would also like to declare an interest, as my youngest daughter attends.
So as they're all impartiality interests, we can still continue to participate in the discussion and vote on the items.
Just fill that for you.
Yes. Okay, so item 9, business deferred. There is none. Item 10, the reports. So reports that I've got coming out of en bloc at this point in time are items 10.3, 10.4, 10.5, 10.6, 10.7, 10.10, 10.11, 10.21, 13.1 and 13.2. Are there any further items that councillors would like out of en bloc? Okay. So then do I have a mover to adopt the remaining en bloc? Councillor Hamilton has moved that. Councillor Mikichuk seconded. Anyone against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously.
Okay, so moving on to 10.3, this is the item about the damaged verge tree. Does anybody have questions for the officers? Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Your Worship. My question to staff would be, what is the species that would be designated for that street under the existing street tree master plan?
Look, I'm terribly sorry, I don't have that information before me. Sorry.
Just in relation to the question that was asked by Ms. Jacobson, has the construction work at that site been completed?
I don't think it started.
Okay.
I think it's just a demolition.
Okay. And the recommendation here, if we were to replace the tree, would we be anticipating waiting until the construction had been completed?
It's not currently listed in our planting program, but if that was Council's desire, we could certainly wait until next year and put it onto the next year's list, or when the building is completed. I mean, the developer has 2 years with their current proposal before they need to start work, so it could be 2 years away.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hamilton?
Can I just clarify? I thought you said that there was no development application apart from demolition.
Sorry, my correction. Mr. Reid has just corrected me to say that there was a demolition request put in, but there was actually no development application submitted thus far. Is that correct? Yes.
Having read the correspondence from the land owner, I'm assuming, and I'm only assuming, that they will be putting in a development application, but it is potentially possible that the land could be left vacant for some years.
It's possible, but generally a demolition would be an action immediately before redevelopment.
Yes, I know. So we don't know. So last question for the officers. Would it be potentially possible to plant the tree in a location where it may not be in such a place to be damaged like the other one was? Like off to the side, maybe.
Yes, and the other issue is that we would, obviously require the new developer or the developer to fence any tree that was planted.
Yep.
If that was the case.
Okay. No further questions, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you. Sorry, just to clarify, wasn't there already an existing requirement to have the tree standing?
Yes, there was, and the building surveyor indicated that he had put that as a requirement. But then, when he went out there to check it, it obviously hadn't occurred, and the damage had happened. So, yes. Thank you.
Okay, so we've got an officer recommendation here. We've had an proposed amendment circulated by Councillor Wilson. So are you planning on moving this motion with that amendment, Councillor Wilson?
Thank you, Worship. I am, but after considering the contribution from Ms. Jacobson of Barton Parade, I was considering adding some further words to that, mm-hmm. Such that at point one of the item, the words after replaces the tree be deleted, so the in accordance with the street tree master plan be deleted and replaced with words saying with a tree approved by council after building be completed. Although, I think picking up on the point that Councillor Hamilton's making, we could anticipate that construction would start soon, but it may not. So.
Perhaps Councillor Wilson might consider putting something in there where the staff investigate whether the tree potentially could be planted slightly over to the side rather than its original position.
It's difficult to anticipate.
We don't know the site.
Which site?
Yeah.
I still think, out of an abundance of caution, it would be better to have the tree grow to maturity. So if it was protected during construction phase, then I would move that way.
Okay, so I'm just aware that the staff, did you have a
comment to make on that? No?
Oh, it's obviously a alternative motion, so I didn't really want to enter into debate, but that would require officers then to bring back a further report to council on this item before a tree could be planted.
Councillor Gandrill?
Yes. Thank you, Your Worship. My question is just in relation to the people that hold the bond, because reading through the documentation, it looks like the company who carried out the demolition, and looks like they've declared that they were responsible for the damage occurring to the tree, would be the responsible body replacing the tree. So it's just in relation to, obviously, the town has their bond. I'm just wondering how that works then, potentially the town requesting that the additional money be paid, and then once we receive the additional money, whether or not, I just want to know how this works, whether or not the demolition company would pay it to the applicants and the owners of the land, and then they'll pay us an additional $200, whatever it is, on top of their $2,200 that we've got. Can I get an understanding of what will occur in this instance?
Yes, you're quite right. The demolition company has provided some correspondence to the town indicating that they were they caused the damage. So, and the property owner who's provided the security bond has also indicated there, you know, that we're unaware of the negligence. So we would be contacting the property, the demolition company, and advising them of the council resolution for them to pay the town that the funds required to replant a street tree.
Thank you.
Councillor Brown?
Yes, thanks, Your Worship. I noticed that the caveat of their response, they said that we think we may have damaged it. They didn't actually admit. So they've got an out, and if push comes to shove, that could be used to change their attitude. It could become very litigious. And now you think about it, it wasn't a clear admission. They used the word, we think, one of their drivers damaged it.
Technically. Yes. So we would write to the demolition company advising them of the decision, and if they then declined, then we still have the security bond there, which we wouldn't release until that's funds available. So we've still got that as a, I suppose, as a penalty for the removal of the damage to the tree.
Okay, so we've got a move with Councillor Wilson with that amendment. So he's saying with a tree approved by council after construction has been completed. Do we have a seconder for the motion with that amendment? Councillor Gandrill? Okay, is there anybody against?
Can I just ask a question?
Of course you can.
Is it normal practice that just to replace a tree it comes back to council as a report?
Just remember to stand up, Councillor Clinton.
Is it normal practice that every time a tree gets replaced, we would need a report come back to council?
Through the chair, no, it wouldn't be, no.
I think this instance is because of the request for it to be approved by council. Otherwise, normally you'd go off the street tree master plan.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Yeah. Would you like to provide an explanation for your...
Yes.
Thank you, Your Worship, I would. During earlier questioning, I asked if staff were aware what the species was that the street tree master plan... would determine should be planted in that place. No answer was forthcoming. In discussions at the Town Assets Committee, there's a clear view from the committee that we should be choosing tree species that will grow to provide significant shade and canopy for our streets. Some of the species that are on the existing street tree master plan are small and ornamental, that do not provide habitat for birds or food for birds, and they certainly don't provide any shade for the road. It would be my hope in moving this that if we were to replace that tree, we would replace it with one that will grow to a significant size and would provide significant shade canopy for the area.
Just a fair question. And so who do you think would provide the advice on the chosen species of the desired new tree?
I would anticipate that staff would provide recommendations to council on species that would grow to a significant size and provide good shade, and then we as a council would decide whether or not that was the species we wanted planted there.
May I make a suggestion? So later on in the agenda, we have on item 10.11, the Town Assets Committee, which deals with this issue. And in the current recommendation from the committee, it refers to finalising a street tree species list. Councillor Wilson, would you be agreeable, instead of saying with a tree approved by council, which implies it needs to come back for a decision of council, changing the wording so that it's with a tree on the new street tree species list? Because if we're not putting this in until construction is completed, that's quite some time down the track, in which time I would hope that we would have managed to complete that item.
Possibly, Your Worship. However, picking up on the comment made by Mr. Bridges, the current proposed point 9 at that item refers to it going into the budget in 2019-20. If that's the case, we might not have a finalised list until into 2021, if that current wording was to last. I would hope that we'd be able to plant a tree sooner than that.
Any further questions? So we had a mover with Councillor Wilson, we had a seconder with Councillor Gangell. Is there anybody against? Okay, all those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. So item 10.4... the review of the electronic recordings and live streaming policy. Are there any questions for the staff on this item? Okay. In that case, I would be happy to move this item, but I have a couple of minor amendments I'd like to propose. With the policy that was attached, or the draft policy that was attached to the agenda, in the second paragraph, I'd just like to change the word attend to access. And then the second last paragraph on page 2, it currently says 2 working days notices to be given by members of the public who wish to listen to the recording at the library. I don't think that's necessary, considering that these will be available on the website and that people will be able to go and use the computers there for free. So it's just really an obsolete statement. So I would like to move that with those 2 amendments. Is there a seconder, Councillor Wilson? Is there anybody against? Was that a hand, Councillor Brown? No, you're eating your lolly. Yeah. So all those in favour? And it's passed unanimously. Okay, 10.5, waiver of the fees. Very important. There's plenty of lollies up here, Councillor Brown. Amy, were you following with that?
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Okay. 10.5, the waiver of the fees for Bassendean for Free's swap meet event. Are there questions on this item? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. The officer recommendation refers to the event as already having occurred on Sunday the 10th of June. Can I confirm that the event went ahead?
Yes, that is correct.
Any further questions? Okay, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. Item 10.6, the revised strategic planning framework plan. Councillor Gangell?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Oh, it's a question to you.
To me.
Oh, no, very exciting. Asking on your proposed amendment,
mm-hmm.
Request that as a priority, a communication expert
mm-hmm.
be engaged to assist with the town development and delivery of a communication education and engagement strategy around the town strategic planning framework and projects. Just wanting to know if we've got a rough estimation of the cost of engaging a communication expert. And what that would entail.
We do, in fact. So
since
the briefing session, councillors have had a workshop with the consultant who's been engaged to help us with our communication strategy. And I believe Mr. Dowling has spoken with her about being able to come up with a strategy for your specific project. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I've actually asked her to scope out a communications plans for the strategic planning projects, which she's doing right at the moment. And hopefully we'll have that in a week or so.
Do you have a... So Councillor Gangell was asking about the cost for that. Do we have
No,
indication?
Not yet. She'll advise us what the estimated cost for that will be.
And I do believe you have some money in your budget already allocated for communication, is that correct?
At the moment, yes.
So the second part of that, though, Councillor Ganger, was about delivery of it as well. So at the moment, the work, the consultant is being engaged to come up with a plan, but we don't have anybody to assist with the delivery. So this was to provide some direction to the staff around that as well. While we're talking about this, I've had some conversation with Mr. Down this afternoon after sending him through the proposed amendments, and I would like to bring your attention to point four that I had included here, and this was following on from the discussion we had after receiving notification from the Minister of Planning, where we'd asked her to request consideration development on the north side of the Ashfield train station. And I've had some advice from Mr. Dowling that probably a better way to proceed would be, instead of writing to the Minister, for us to instead incorporate it into our local planning strategy. Is that correct, Mr. Dowling? Yeah. So this is the wording that has been proposed by Mr. Dowling instead of the point four that you have in front of you. So it is, in respect to the recent advice from the Minister for Planning that increased residential density development is more appropriate on the south side only of the proposed Ashfield Activity Centre, as designated in the Perth and Peel at 3.5 million planning framework, that the opportunity for live-work development to occur within the Ashfield Activity Centre, especially on the north side of the Ashfield train station, be explored and considered through the current review of the town's local planning strategy and the planning for the Ashfield Activity Centre. Did you follow that? Yeah, Councillor Ganger?
So, yes, that brings me just with that recommendation, though. I mean, obviously, with the Minister rejecting the town's initial contact with the Minister and subsequently the Government, therefore they've indicated that they will not be supporting the proposal for the north side. What would the cost be involved in incorporating this potentially, considering the Government has indicated very strongly through the Minister that they wouldn't be supporting, and also WAPC as well?
Well, at the moment it's only to be explored and considered in the proposal here, so there's nothing in. Yeah. And the proposal put to the Planning Minister was somewhat different. It was about there being high-rise residential development, and so this proposal is more in line with... Pardon? Yeah. Did you have any comments to make, Mr. Dowling?
No, not specifically. That's correct. I guess the Minister was concerned that having full density housing on the north side was a concern, but a live-work is a different sort of use and arrangement where it actually is an opportunity to reflect the changing nature of work that will happen into the future, where, as we're told by the consultant who did the local economic overview, that a lot of large-scale manufacturing and assembling is now downsizing to much smaller scales, and obviously large sites are no longer needed. So, and with increased and improved technologies and resulting in less sort of adverse impacts, if you like, you can consider opportunities like live-work development. So I think that's certainly something that's is worthy of consideration in that location.
Yes. Just further to that then, it's the most you've ever had to say, Mr. Dowling, in a council meeting. It's very exciting. Just further to that then, so I don't know why then it wouldn't be prudent before you engage in all the work to do as the Mayor originally suggested and just seek the Minister's interest in potentially doing the work.
I guess the concern is that if we went straight to the Minister, any proposal or request, you'd have to probably put forward a very considered and articulate, convincing proposal, which takes a lot of work. But I think the correct process is to go through the local planning strategy where you can flag it, and then because the planning strategy is approved by the Planning Commission, it doesn't need to go to the Minister. Obviously, if the strategy is approved, you would then probably need to do a scheme amendment to affect that, which would then go to the Minister. But I just think, mindful that it could be an outright no by the Minister, whereas I think if you can try and put together a more compelling, nuanced argument and work with the Planning Commission and the Department on this and other stakeholders, I think you would have a better chance of succeeding.
Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Staff able to outline the reasoning or the rationale given by the Minister for rejecting the first advance?
No, all she said was from the letter that it was her view was that she wanted to retain the Ashfield industrial area purely for industrial uses and to restrict the housing development to the south side of the railway line. She said it would be more appropriate to do that.
Councillor Hamilton?
In that correspondence between either party, the town or the minister, was there any associated dialogue about the adjoining CSBP site in Bayswater? Okay.
No, there was nothing.
Okay, have we exhausted Councillor Ganger?
And last one from me. I just want to just ask Mr. Dowling, just in response to my question regarding how much the communication expert that we're going to engage would cost. So you would have that under your current budget, you believe, to cover those costs?
I think I had I've got one big budget, but in that I had an allocation of about $5,000
yep.
for that,
yep.
and I'm still waiting on what the cost might be. I'm not sure at this stage what it would be.
But you're anticipating that it would be within that budget?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Hmm. That's the reason for getting her to scope it out, so at least we get an idea of the costs and what the tasks involved are doing that.
Okay. Councillor Brown?
Thank you, Worship. I can't quite find it right now, but in reading it earlier, you referenced the Ashfield precinct plan as being adopted but not actioned. Isn't it true that Ashfield precinct plan is defunct? Yes or no?
It was never adopted as a, far as I know, a planning policy of the Planning Commission. It was certainly, I don't know, Brian, it may have been endorsed, but it was simply a plan. It just doesn't fit under the planning framework, so it's not, in my view, an official plan of the government. So in that, it probably at this stage just remains a guiding plan that can obviously be amended, changed, or probably even completely disregarded if you wanted to go that way. My understanding was it was premised on the Forestfield Airport link going to the east of Ashfield, which is now obviously not happening. It's going to the west, so that in itself would probably cause some review of it to occur.
Your Worship, just as a follow-up, that document is still out there. It hasn't been declared defunct. It is still causing confusion within the Ashfield community, and it's affecting their forward planning. There's some specific planning implications in that document to do with tiered development within certain distances of the Ashfield train station. That document is still out there, and like I said, it's still causing confusion. It needs to be either written off, which I suggest that would be the best method of doing it, writing to them and saying, is this still a government imperative, or can we put this to bed?
Mr. Reid and I were actually on the Ashfield Implementation Plan Working Group. It was a multi-agency group which involved the Council, Department of Planning, PTA and a number of other agencies, including Main Roads. By the time we finished the work on that process, it was obvious that the plan was not going to be implemented in that form. For a start, the moving Guildford Road across the railway line to the other side disappeared very quickly. And as Mr. Dowling suggested, the railway station was not going to move anymore and become the entrance to the CSBP site, and a number of other significant changes were made to that, which meant that the R100 on Guildford Road became a little problematic as well. So I think you're right. I think it is pretty much dead in the water, and maybe we should write to the department and ask them for a clarification of their status of it.
Thanks very much. That would be my request.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Okay, so we have my foreshadowed motion with the additional 2 points. Before we get to that, do we have a mover for the officer recommendation as it's written?
Councillor Sorry, Your Worship, just a question. Is it, are you proposing your foreshadowed motion as tabled or as you...
No, as I read out, okay. Yeah. So deleting the current point 4 and then going with the advice of Mr. Dowling that we just explore that as part of our local planning scheme review.
Can we split it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we haven't got a mover for the officer recommendation. Okay, so going on to the foreshadowed motion, which part would you like to debate separately, Councillor Gangell?
Point 4, thank you.
Point 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
you don't want to explore this at all?
Well, I sorry, Your Worship, I'm happy to go into this into debate, but just beforehand, just give you the heads up, I very much favour your initial suggestion. Go with your instinct, I always say.
Okay. All right, so for the points 1, 2, and 3, so point 3 being the communication expert, I've moved that. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk, all those in favour? That is passed unanimously. So point 4, under the advice of Mr Dowling, so to instead of contact the minister about this, to go through the process of exploring it through our local planning scheme. I've moved that motion. Is there a seconder? Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? Councillor Wilson. Okay. I think, so opening debate, I think this has been brought up before, that we want to explore all of our options for different density scenarios and having a variety of residential accommodations in the town. Councillor Brown has been a strong advocate of exploring around Ashfield train station and the different opportunities that we have there. We've recently received advice from the Minister saying that she was not supportive of having high-rise there, but I think there's still other opportunities in that location. Mr Dowling, who we've employed to give us advice on this, has also indicated that this would be an appropriate land use in that area. This motion is only seeking to explore that. It is in no way saying we are definitely going to do this. And I am mindful of his advice that the more appropriate way to approach this would be to do it through our local planning scheme, as opposed to writing a letter to her, in which case we may get a response shutting down the options, and then we will not be able to explore it further and potentially have a good outcome. So as I said before, this is just merely an opportunity to explore it as part of our review, which I think would be a really good thing for us to do in providing potentially different forms of accommodation in the town and activating that area around Ashfield. Councillor Mikichuk, were you the seconder for that? Councillor Hamilton, sorry, would you like to debate?
I support your amendment, primarily because an individual suggestion going in isolation to the minister may not be a persuasive argument, as opposed to a more detailed, comprehensive proposal that takes into account different parts of the puzzle and puts it together in front of in the town planning scheme, the proposed town planning scheme. So I think that the suggestion put forward by our strategic planner is perhaps more acceptable, and I believe it would have a greater chance of success if it was presented in a more cohesive manner.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. In a past life, I used to work at Bradken, which is the large manufacturing facility which is directly to the north of the Ashfield train station. That manufacturing facility has a long and proud history as being a manufacturing place going back to the Vicar Hoskins days and before. Currently there's some 180 plus people who work there who rely on having jobs at that facility to pay their bills and to raise their families. People often talk about the heritage of our town and the need to preserve the heritage. Well, our industrial heritage is just as important as our built heritage. We are a manufacturing community, and I think that manufacturing is the highest and the best use of that land. And I think if we were to create any zoning incentives to the owners of that land to stop it being a manufacturing facility and to shift instead to being residential apartments, that would put pressure on the viability of the jobs for the people who work there. If any of the other locations next door to Bradken were to be considered, people have to understand that it's a 24-hour manufacturing site. There is large industrial machinery making very large noises 24 hours a day there. It is not compatible with people sleeping in their beds at night. So for that reason, I support the decision that the Minister made when she informed the town in her letter that she did not think it should be changed from industrial, and I support the continuation of that site as a manufacturing site for forever.
Any speakers for? Councillor Hamilton? Haven't you already spoken? Anybody else? Against? Councillor Gangell?
Thank you, Your Worship. go back and have a look. I think I might have been one of the only councillors initially that that voted against the proposal in the first instance. But look, so wholeheartedly agree with Councillor Wilson. I think the minister, and also through that process, it would also be the Planning Commission have indicated their desire to have that land remain for industrial. It's a very important industrial area. And I think before we engage in going down, doing up great plans and ideas, I think it would be better to see if there is any leniency in what was sent back to the council. As we know, Mr. Dowling's clock is ticking. He has a very tight time frame to do a lot of work. And I don't think adding additional areas onto that will assist with trying to get the timeframes met with the overall planning for the town. So I'll certainly advocate to either leave it as the minister has so declared, that it should remain industrial area, or before we undertake any subsequent plans. And bear in mind, the minister does get her advice from the commission, that we seek the minister's view in whether or not there is any scope for any alternatives in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further speakers? Okay. Just in closing, I'd like to make it clear that I'm not suggesting that I'm either for or against this, just that it's a proposal that has been put forward and it is worth us having a look at. We have the option of rejecting it at a later stage, but we do have a need to increase density and provide a variety of housing options. This is just one other that is available to us. So I think it would be worthwhile us exploring, especially upon the advice of our strategic planner, that it is something that we could consider. So I would suggest that we at least take a look at this rather than just excluding it without giving it due consideration. Okay, so all those in favour? Yeah. Councillor McLennan, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton and Brown, and against Councillor Gangell and Wilson, and that is passed. 10.7, this is the Design Bassendean Advisory Group meeting. Are there questions for the staff? So I circulated a proposed amendment to the officer recommendation. Having been part of that meeting, there was a lot of discussion around the energy efficient design that we have in the town and that our current policy is really lacking. And this was referenced in the report, but there was no actual direction given in the officer recommendation around how we proceed with that. So I've added a point 3 that I'd like to propose as amendment, which says that Council 3 confirms its intention to require a significantly higher standard of energy efficient and sustainable design for future developments within the town through a policy referenced in the LPS. Council therefore requests staff to prepare, as part of the future review of LPP 2, a revised policy that achieves this outcome for Council's consideration. And then there's a point 4 there that I circulated to you, but I've also spoken to Mr. Dowling and he has made a suggestion around this point as well. So in the committee there was a lot of discussion around the communication.
Sorry, Your Worship, yep. just members of the gallery, I'm just having difficulty hearing.
Okay.
You.
If so, we just ask you to be quiet so that councillors can hear what is being discussed. So one of the things that was identified, and I think it's also referenced in the report, is the need to make it clear to the community what the process is that we're going through, the various stages and where there's the opportunity for people to have input. So what I'd propose instead of the point 4 that you have listed in front of you is that Council requests the CEO to promptly arrange for the preparation of suitable graphics to illustrate the timeline for implementation of the revised strategic planning framework and its associated projects, highlighting the key stages at which our community can have the opportunity for input. Is everybody clear on that? Any questions? Councillor Mikichuk.
Madam Mayor, can you just elaborate, sorry, on the abbreviations, LPS, LPP2?
So local planning strategy and local planning policy. So that's the energy efficient design policy, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Reid?
Thank you.
Okay, so do we have a mover for the officer recommendation as it's written? Okay, so that lapses. So I've moved the recommendation with two additional points.
Is there a seconder? Councillor Wilson. Anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. So moving on to 1010, Sustainability Committee.
Yes.
Councillor Ganger.
Thank you, Your Worship. Oh, my favourite. Okay, so I'm just wondering, do we have criteria for what will the grants be involving the sustainability grants for the community sustainability projects? Do we have criteria for what that $10,000 will be allocated for?
So,
just in the minutes, I'm referring to the minutes for
the
time being. Yes, it says in the background in the minutes.
Yeah. So as we've discussed before, Councillor.
Yeah, and the budget's fast approaching. I'm just wondering, if you have any idea what we're going to use the money for?
No, I don't believe the staff have had the opportunity to do that body of work yet. Is that correct, Mr. Stuart Dawkins?
Yep. So I just want to just confirm also, we don't know what the criteria would be for $10,000 for the community education programs or the $5,000 for the Climate Clever program. We don't have any criteria or any idea what we're going to
use. So the Climate Clever program is defined, but the other one, the education...
Do we have criteria for the grants? Yes.
For applying to the
Climate Clever program.
No, so as we've discussed previously, this is a new committee that does not have a budget previously, and so there has been limited opportunity for those to be defined. However, because the committee is going to be active over the next financial year, unless there is some budget allocation, there will not be any projects that committee will be able to undertake. So the projects would be in alignment with the agreed objectives of the committee.
So I do have more questions.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I just note in the comment, I'm just wondering if somebody could explain to me. So we have had discussion about providing an electronic car charging station,
mm-hmm.
but I note that the UWI car charger and the conditions required if the town accepted the charging station, if it was agreed that the town would benefit more if a charging station was purchased and owned by the town, rather than accepting the UWI free charger with UWI imposed criteria. Can I ask the reasoning and what was so imposing on the UWI criteria against the town getting something for free?
Can you remember the specifics, Mr. Stuart Dawkins?
I'll try and recall. I think there was some limitations in regards to the adaptability of the actual unit for LoRa.
Sorry, I think there was some issues in regards to the adaptability of the actual unit being able to charge a variety of cars. And there was another item as well, but I can't remember the other issue that was problematic.
Councillor Hamilton, can you recall from the committee meeting?
From memory, I think there was also some difference between fast charging.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you very much, yes.
Okay, and my final question, last one from me. Just in point three, it says, notes the public drafts event 2018-19 budget will be amended for council's consideration to improve recycling capacity for future public events. Just wondering what that budget amendment would entail.
Are you looking for a quantity or are you looking for what it would be providing?
Both, Your Worship.
So at the moment we haven't been providing recycling bins at public events, so it would be to be able to provide them.
No, we have, Your Worship.
Not consistently, is my understanding.
A quote has been provided by Asset Services for the provision of recyclable bins at public events. I did see the quote. I don't recall the number off the top of my head, unfortunately, but I believe that's the basis on which the variation has been provided.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions? So we've had a proposed amendment circulated by Councillor Wilson. Would you like to read that out?
Thank you, Your Worship. I propose that we add an item 6 after the officer's recommendations, which would be that officers implement the IT technology used for the Keener on Halloween app to allow residents of the town of Bassendean to alert their neighbours to the fact that they are keen to receive food scraps, either for chicken food or for compost bins or for worm farms.
Can I just ask the staff about that technology that we use for the Keen on Halloween and if that would be able to be adapted for this purpose?
It's actually a product that the youth services have produced. I believe it would be adaptable for the purpose, but I would have to reserve final comment on that until after we've discussed it with the youth service.
Okay, are there any further questions?
Might I suggest that to Councillor Wilson for point six, instead of having officers implement, have officers explore using, mm-hmm. and that will give the officers a chance to actually ascertain if it can actually be implemented properly.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. I would imagine that if it was not possible, that staff would come back to us and tell us that.
That's fine.
Okay, so Councillor Wilson, are you moving the officer's recommendation with that amendment? We have a seconder. Councillor Mikichuk, is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. 10.11, the Town Assets Committee meeting. I have a question. In the report on, in the recommendation under point four, there was discussion about the tree that was being selected at the committee. Do we know what tree was recommended by the arborist?
Yes, through the chair. In the bottom of the report, I'll just pick up my agenda.
Oh, is it written there? Is it? I'm sorry.
Yes, sorry. Just above the recommendation.
Yes.
The tree that we've been able to get was the pyrus, which is commonly known as the Calara ornamental pear.
My apologies. I should have seen that.
That's okay.
Are there other questions? Councillor Wilson? Sorry, you're next. Councillor Hamilton?
thank you, Your Worship. Whilst I was at the committee meeting, I must confess to have missed the point that was raised by Mr. Bridges in the public gallery about the funds having already been allocated and carried forward. And I ask if there's any obstacles that would prevent us from changing item 9 to be 2018-19 rather than 2019-20.
No?
So I'm just looking across the at this stage we are putting it all together, so there is an option at this stage.
Okay, thank you. Just a supplementary question. So the funds have already been allocated. Those funds would otherwise have been carried over. This is
sure.
not funding that would have to be levied. Okay.
Are there any further questions? Okay, so Councillor Hamilton, you've again circulated a proposed amendment.
I have, and in addition to the circulated amendment, which would add a new point 11, I would also like to amend point 9 so that it would read 2018-19 rather than 2019-20, so that we can bring forward the work on updating our street tree master plan for a year.
So did you want to read out point 11?
I do. So the additional point 11, which relates to work being undertaken through the committee, would read, the council requests the Town Assets Committee undertakes a community engagement with the users of Palmerston Park to identify people who would be interested in participating in a working group of the Town Assets Committee in order to identify capital works improvements that could be made to the park that would increase the amenity of the park for local users, and approves the expenditure up to $500 by the Town Assets Committee for the creation of temporary signage, letterbox flyers, and catering for community working group meetings to facilitate this community engagement.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the proposed foreshadowed motion by Councillor Wilson? Councillor Ganger?
Yes, thank you, Worship. Just to get some understanding of where we're currently at with Palmerston Street Park, my understanding was we're looking at changing the parking situation there. I think we'd sent out a letter previously regarding that. Also, was it the dog park? I think was proposed there as well. Is that have I lost somewhere in the train where that's currently at? Just wanted to just get an understanding where we're at with Palmerston Park on those two items.
Yes, that's correct. In regards to there's been a
previous report to council in regards to looking at the opportunity to improve the facilities for both dogs and for other users of the reserve, the playground area. And I think there was a resolution to look at off-street parking as well.
Are there any further questions? Okay, so let's deal with the committee recommendation as it currently is. Is there a mover for the committee recommendation without the foreshadowed component? Okay, so that lapses. So now dealing with Councillor Wilson's foreshadowed motion, including the change of date in point 9 and point 11 regarding Palmerston Park. Do we have a second?
What's changing point 9?
Sorry, it's just bringing the $60,000
forward. Okay, yeah.
So Councillor Mikichuk has seconded. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That's passed unanimously. So moving on to 10.21, the financial statements. On page 73 of your agendas. Officer recommendation. Are there questions for the staff? Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question relates to the budget amendment items on page 72 at note 9, with a note that there would be a transfer of unspent funds into the road and drainage infrastructure reserve. And my question is, what would be the limitations on potential future use around those funds? As in, what specific types of works would those funds be available for in the future?
The reserve is actually for the maintenance and renewal of our drainage system. So that there is, it's as open as that.
Okay. So the budget line item does refer to road and drainage infrastructure. So I was just seeking clarity whether that would be limited to just drainage or whether it could be used for roads. Okay. So is there a petition within that account so that you can account for which funds are just for drainage and which funds are for roads?
No, it's just one single reserve.
Okay.
We can split it.
Okay, are there any further questions?
Excuse me.
Yes, Councillor Hamilton.
May I ask some questions regarding some items in the attachment? On page 24, I'm just curious, there are two-thirds of the way down the page, sundry debtors, long service leave due from other councils, sundry debtors again. And these figures from 2016-17, 2017-18 appear to be identical. And I'm just curious about, you know, are these long-term debts and what's... I don't know what they are, so that's why I'm asking.
I can let you know.
Okay.
Is this, Madam Mayor, can I just ask, is this money from other councils for long service leave liabilities?
One of them is, yes.
Yes.
Which page are you on, sorry, Councillor Hamilton?
I'm on page 24 in the hard copy of the attachments. And the heading on the page is notes to and forming part of the financial report, and it's down towards the bottom.
So the sundry debtors, it's the self-supporting loans.
So okay, right.
Yep.
Yep.
Long service leaves from other councils, yep. So we make provision. So the long service, these self-supporting loans are from the Ashfield Soccer Club.
Okay, right. And then you got other sundry debtors. It just looks like they've been outstanding for a long time because they're obviously the same amounts for each year.
The balance sheet doesn't change until the end of the financial year.
Okay, so are they on the way to being rectified?
Yes, they'll change at the end.
Okay. Sorry. These others I'm just going to ask you separately.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Hamilton. So do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Quinton, seconded by Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? That is passed unanimously. Okay, so now moving on to item 11, are there any motions of which notice has been given? Nope. 12, announcements of notices of motion for the next meeting. So then moving on to item 13, which is confidential business. So at this point I'd like to thank the members of the public for attending.
Your Worship, can I crave your indulgence? Have I missed